The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Wednesday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. It is Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. And if you've hated the last 2 days, fortunate for you, this is my last day here on the desk. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. And no rant to start the show today, Kelly. Too much stuff went on in sports yesterday. I know it seems like it's kind of a slow part of the sports calendar, but we had a lot of things going on. While we were on air yesterday, we actually got several different tidbits of breaking news. First and foremost, that Baker Mayfield had been named starting quarterback for the Bucs. And I don't know if that moves the needle really for anyone out there. I mean, I guess maybe if you were very, very bearish on the Bucs and you wanted to bet an under on them, you were kind of hoping for Trask would be my guess, because you were thinking that maybe he was going to be just a little bit more green, a little bit worse. But now Baker's in there. There's at least some sort of stability, because you do have a guy. He's going to be making his third season opening start for three different teams in 3 years now at this point. And there is at least some sort of something with Baker Mayfield. Like, there is a floor. Like, we at least know what the floor is. Now, the floor is pretty low because we've seen some pretty bad Baker Mayfield, but we don't know just how low the floor is for Kyle Trask. And so I guess if you're a Bucs bettor, this is, if you're going under, it's probably a bad thing. If you're going the over, maybe it's a good thing. I don't want anything to do with this Bucs squad whatsoever. I know this is not a division that we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk a couple of different AFC divisions if you hang around for that. We're also going to talk some college football with Tim Murray. We'll talk some NFL with Pritchard as well. But, man, Kelly, you look at this, and Baker Mayfield, I think, is one of those deals where you can't really go from Trask to Mayfield, but you can go from Mayfield to Trask. Yeah. And so it kind of has to go in this order.
Yeah, I would think that if you were, like you said, if you were betting the Bucs at all, you kind of had to expect this because of what you just said. You have to go in that order. That's how it works. You got to see what you're going to get out of Baker. And I think rightfully so. This division is so bad that, yes, I think you start Baker and see what you can do with this team. We talked about it yesterday or Monday about, you know, hey, this team still has some quality pieces. You know, they may or may not still be around the entirety of the season, but they do have some good pieces still left on the team. So, yeah, start the season with Baker, see how you do, and you make a change if you need to make a change.
Over in Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees. If you're listening over in New York, I feel for you. Mets underperform. Yankees have now lost 9 straight. They lose to the Nationals 2-1. It is their longest losing streak since 1982. They fall to 60-65. That is last in the AL East in 10.5 games out of a wild card spot. Kelly, that 1982 Yankee team, they were 5th in the AL East with a final record of 79-83. So if that tells you anything of the pace that they're on and things that are going on from a historical perspective for this Yankee squad. Now, it wasn't all bad. Dave Winfield did hit 37 homers and have 106 RBI for that Yankees squad right there. And that was the debut of Donnie Baseball at the very end of that season, since they were out of it and they had a losing record. They ended up calling up a very young Don Mattingly at the end of the year. He had 12 at-bats for the Yankees that season before being a regular part of the lineup there in 1983. But I think when you look here at this Yankee squad with the teams that they have to overcome, I think you can stick a fork in them. I know we still have a decent amount of baseball, and we're going to be talking about teams that are on big winning streaks right now and other teams that are on big losing streaks right now. And you're saying, hey, what do you mean? This team can win 7-8 in a row. How come the Yankees can't win 7-8 in a row? Well, you know, it's not to say that they can't, but it's having to leapfrog Red Sox, Blue Jays, Mariners, Astros, Rays, all of these different teams that they're going to have to climb. You're going to need regression from those teams along with a really good win streak out of the Yankees. It is done. Stick a fork in them. Unfortunately, sorry, New York baseball fans this year. I know there's high hopes on both of those teams. That Rangers Diamondback game we talked a little bit about yesterday with Mark Borchard. That game, the Zach Gallen goes 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts, only 1 earned run. The Diamondbacks get the win in that one. The Rangers lose their 6th straight, and the key thing about that is they lose their 6th straight while the Astros and Mariners both win. So now the Astros are just a half game back of the Rangers. The Mariners are just 1 game back after winning their 8th game in a row. Now, Zach Gallen, we woke up this morning, Kelly. Zach Gallen is your Cy Young favorite in the NL, despite the fact, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday as well, his home road splits are like laughable, and yet he's probably going to win the Cy Young. If you take a look at home this year, 85 and a third innings, 1.79 ERA, backed up by a 2.59 xFIP, a sub 1 whip, 0.93 whip, a 31.5% K rate, just a 4% walk rate. Batters have a 243 wOBA against him. He's only given up 17 earned runs at home. On the road, 82 and two thirds, so basically the same amount of innings. A 4.46 ERA, a 4.29 xFIP, a 1.2 whip, a 22% K rate, so it drops off by nearly 10% on the road. His walk rate is up 2.2% on the road, and batters have a 308 wOBA against him. He has given up 41 earned runs on the road. 17 at home, 41 on the road. It's wild. I mean, like, completely different pitcher, home and road. Fortunately, they only have a few road series left. There is a hard one against the Dodgers, but then there's a couple against the Yankees, one against the White Sox. So even if he is on the road and has to make a start, at least it's against a mediocre opponent, most likely. And as I said, I mean, woke up this morning, he was even money over at DraftKings for the Cy Young. So Zach Gallen, the 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts against his Ranger squad, has him your even money Cy Young bet.
Even money on him. Blake Snell back to plus 320. Spencer Strider plus 350. That is beyond fascinating. I like the idea that he could possibly win this with a ERA on the road of, what'd you just say, 4.6?
4.46. Yeah. His whip goes up 0.3 points. His K rate is down nearly 10 points. His walk rate's up nearly 2.5 points.
It's also the Diamondbacks, too. So it's like, I don't like this dominant home field advantage, right, that every pitcher feels when they take the bump for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this team is in the middle of everything, and this is not I know we're in the middle of the summer, and there's lots of things going on. Everyone's going back to school and all this, but you know, this team's in the playoff hunt here, and it was like 39% capacity at the stadium last night in Phoenix. Yeah. Like, so yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not like the crowd is like all behind you and doing all these different things, but yeah, it was crazy. I wondered, we got a little. I put this in the rundown, and then Kelly gave me a note, and I was wondering why there was a note on this, and I'll let you explain it here in just a little bit, but this is more news than anything else. But hey, we like to highlight when people have great athletic achievements. And last night, Las Vegas Aces star Asia Wilson tied the WNBA single game scoring mark, 53 points in that game against the Atlanta Dream. She went 16 of 23 from the floor, 20 of 21 from the foul line. And how about this praise right here from Coach Becky Hammond? She runs like a deer, jumps like a cat, and catches as if she were Spider-Man. She is just special. Her real gift is in her humility and grace and how she handles herself and her teammates. She is a phenomenal superstar. Now, that's where I ended what was in the rundown. And then there was a note when I woke up this morning from Kelly that says, the Aces didn't cover even after dropping 112 points, which lets me know that there was a WNBA bet on your card last night.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. I've been doing the blind just bet the Aces after they lose a game all season. I think I bet it every time except for one time. It's cashed every single time except for last night. So you get a historic performance, 112 points put up in a WNBA game, and you still can't cover. There was it was wild down the stretch. I don't know if you caught any of that game, but Asia Wilson, I mean, absolutely went off in the entire game, but the second half was incredible to watch. And, you know, she ties the record, and then they pull her out of the game with, like, 48 seconds left. And I'm like, what are you doing? Give her a chance to break the record.
Yeah, you're like, whoa. Yeah. What are we doing here? And then, was someone not aware? That's when an assistant coach walks up and goes, like, hey, I don't know if you know or not, but
Yeah, I didn't really get it. I mean, obviously, you know, they had one more possession. They kind of just dribbled the clock out when they had it. But she had a chance to break the record. They didn't really give her a chance to do it. And then, yeah, if you were betting the game like I was, you got to watch the Aces, like, turn over inbounds passes at the end and stuff, and you're just like, this is why you don't lay 15.5 points in a basketball game, like, ever.
So you retired? I heard you say maybe you were retiring.
Yeah, I think it might be my last WNBA bet.
For this year.
Of the regular season.
Yes.
So I'm going to say that. Playoffs, I'll probably get back.
Yeah, when we get to the playoffs, maybe you'll get back in. It seems like every time I'm filling in for Gil, there's some sort of tennis news. This has just absolutely nothing to do. I'm not, like, looking for tennis stories just because I'm in for Gil, but this is actually a very big deal just in the tennis world in general, because the ATP announced that they're starting a new program called Baseline. And basically what they're going to do, Kelly, is they're going to give these, you know, which are independent contractors essentially and whatnot, they're going to give them a baseline salary. So basically, if you go over the course of a season and you do not make X amount of money, and there are different thresholds, but depending on what ranking you are in the world, and if you don't end up making that baseline of a salary, the ATP is going to step up and get you to that level, right? So it brings a sense of security to these guys that are going out and trying to train, trying to get better, trying to climb the ladder, and they can completely and totally focus on actually playing tennis and trying to get better, as opposed to wondering about where, you know, the how they're going to pay the rent and things like that for these lower level guys. I mean, it's, we talk a lot about the superstars, and yeah, I don't think people realize that, yeah, the superstars make a ton of money. Once you get a little bit further down that line, it drops off a cliff. And so for the fact that, you know, guys as far down as 250th in the world at least have a baseline salary of $75,000, so you can at least feel comfortable that you are not going to be worried about paying bills and paying rent and all the stuff like that. I think it's a really great program and pretty awesome, the ATP, to do that. Of course, the only other comp is kind of the UFC, and that's a big thing that's going on right now because those guys have no baseline pay, right? And they don't have any sort of guarantees as to money that they're going to get. And so, cool that the ATP decided to do this.
Yeah, I know it's been an issue in tennis for a while. I think that it is good to see. It's just a little odd and ironic to me, Matt, because we obviously, as much golf as we talk, it feels like the two sports are kind of going in opposite directions when you talk about this kind of stuff, right? The golf really concerned about making sure their star players get paid out at the top so they don't jump to live. Okay, well, different situation, different story over in tennis.
The other big news yesterday, Jackson Smith and Jigba, surgery on a broken bone in his hand, is hoping that he could be back for the beginning of the regular season. When we come back, let's take a look at some other futures here as we move on. It is a numbers game here on a Wednesday.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every single day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. You do have to be 21 or older and physically located in the great state of Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. A numbers game here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Last day here on the desk. Is Gil back or is someone else taking over for
me? Yeah, Gil's back tomorrow.
Gil's back, all right.
Gil back manana. So,
there you go. If you've been tuning out the last 3 days, you can leave it on the dial tomorrow. Like, Gil will be back.
Big show tomorrow, actually. We got crack in like we usually do on Thursdays, and then Mr. Dr. Eric Eager in studio tomorrow.
In studio. That is a big show. Mm-hmm. See, listen, this is a guy that is a mister and a doctor and knows his football as well. So you got to tune in for that. Eric Eager, always a great guest on any of these shows. So we'll come back to some of these other news. Of course, we'll look at the rookie of the year odds and things like that. But we do want to get to the AFC South. And we hit on a couple of AFC divisions yesterday. We want to get to the AFC South as well. And this is one in which I was pretty quick to go in and bet, pretty quick to take a position on, and pretty steadfast in how I believe that this division is going to go. As we sit right now, the Jags are your favorite at minus 155. You can see on your screen right now, Titans plus 350, Colts are 6-1, and then the Texans are 8-1 to win the division. If you think the Jags can win the whole conference 14-1, then it really, really gets big on these other teams. Titans 55, Colts 70, and of course Texans at 100, and then Titans, Colts, and Texans aren't winning the Super Bowl. 30-1 if you want the Jags to win the Super Bowl. None of those other teams win the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. I don't need to tell you the odds.
Wait, our graphic doesn't even have the Texans on the board. Like,
it's not happening. So it's no point in us even doing that. I mean, this is a division in which by the end of the year, we very well could have three rookie quarterbacks starting. We're going to have two for sure. The Colts have already come out and said Anthony Richardson's going to be their opening day starter. The Texans have given that to CJ Stroud as well. We know that the Titans did draft Will Levis. Will Levis had a setback in camp from an injury standpoint, probably was going to go with Ryan Tannehill anyway to start the year. There's no financial commitment by this Titans team to Ryan Tannehill beyond this season. And so if this season goes like I think it could for this Titans squad, I believe that we end up seeing Will Levis towards the end of the year as it is anyway. And so it could be three rookie quarterbacks going in this division with Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. I think Jags are a pretty good bet here, Kelly. I got them early. I bet them as soon as these numbers all started coming out, listen, you know, I've never been a fan of this Titans team as it is anyway. Certainly not a fan of Ryan Tannehill. And so when I'm looking at, hey, what is their motivation really to continue to play Tannehill throughout the course of the season if they're, you know, sitting 500 or something like that? The motivation's really none. Yeah. You need to see what you have in Will Levis as it is anyway. I think they kind of have a decent idea of what they have in Malik Willis. They didn't want to play him last year when they really needed to play him last year, and they went out and got guys off the street to play. So that's why they take Will Levis. They need to figure out what they've got in him. And so I was really, really bullish on the Jags in this division because I don't think the Colts are going to be very good. I don't think the Texans are going to be very good. Maybe the Texans a bet on team kind of on a week-to-week basis if they start to kind of gel somewhere along the way, because they're not completely devoid of talent, but I think it's going to take C.J. Stroud and those guys kind of working in the offense a little bit more. You just kind of look. I know there are some people out there who aren't near as high on Calvin Ridley coming back as I am, but again, it's a guy that's not coming off of an injury. It's a guy that's coming off of a parlay. And so for me, I take a look, and now you can move Chris Kirk into that wide receiver two role, which is by far the more natural role for him. He's not a wide receiver one. And so you get to have Ridley be your one. You get to have Kirk be your two now, which is more natural position for him, which actually should benefit him in the long run. And Trevor Lawrence continues to kind of start to look like that guy that coming out of Clemson, everybody said was this can't-miss prospect, certainly towards down the stretch last year. I thought we saw some really, really good play out of Trevor Lawrence. And you know, you and I have talked offline about all of this. And, you know, this was something that was not abnormal in the NFL even 6-7 years ago. But Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert basically ruined the idea that guys need development in the NFL. And, like, they stepped in and looked like all pros day one, right? Like, let's just put Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert in the Hall of Fame after their rookie seasons. That is like an anomaly and certainly not the norm, and has not been the norm basically since the beginning of the NFL, right? Like guys taking a little time to adjust and kind of coming into their own in years 2, 3, maybe even 4 was something that we saw on the regular. Now, because of what we saw with Burrow and Herbert, guys step in. If they have a bad game in their first 4 games, like, this guy's a bust. Get him out of here. Right, he's horrible. Yeah. You know? And so, like, I think we saw Trevor Lawrence last year kind of start to play like the Trevor Lawrence that people were saying he could be. And if that's the case in a very weak division, in my opinion, I think this is Jags all the way. It was the first bet that I made in my account as soon as division numbers came out. That number has now drifted a little bit, but I think even still at 150, it's something I would be looking
at. That's where I bet it at. I think it was minus 150 by the time I got to it. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I bet it basically as soon as they opened up as well. I don't even really know if you and I talked about it, you know, offline ahead of time. We might have just made those separately. Mm. But that was, I agree with everything you said. We have talked about the Jags a fair amount on this show, and it's I know I've gotten some pushback on this. Look, I am very bullish. This is my favorite bet of all NFL bets. We're going to go over kind of everything that we do have in our portfolio so far later in the show. This is still my favorite bet heading into the season, though, is the Jags to win this division for a lot of the cases that you just laid out. Are there some concerns with this team? Sure, there's still some concerns. Is this one of the better defenses in the NFL? No, it's not. Could there be some offensive line problems here early on? Yeah, there could be. I think all those issues could exist. There's a reason, though, why I bet them to win the division and not bet over their win total, even though I think that most likely happens. But this division is terrible, and it's going to be a very easy division schedule. The rest of their outside division schedule is not necessarily easy. They do play some tough teams on there, and I think once this team gets to the playoffs, Matt, I'm not a huge believer in them going super far in the playoffs, but as far as us talking just regular season and divisions, this team is so far above everybody else in that division. It's an easy bet for me to make.
Yeah, you should be staring down 4-2 after the first 6 weeks, and if that's the case, they're going to be in a really good position to go ahead and win this division. You have 2 games against the Colts in the first 6 weeks of the season, mixed in with the Texans and the Falcons. Like, this should be a 4-2 team. I'm chalking up losses to Chiefs and Bills, though I do wonder if they're a little bit closer to those teams than maybe we even realize at this point. You get to week 7, Saints and Steelers games, you know, 7 and 8, probably going to be difficult games, but winnable games for sure, whenever we look at the Saints and Steelers. And then they are one of the teams that really benefit from one of those mid-season buys, right? Like a week 9 buy. Mm-hmm. I bet you if you did a poll of every single GM on the face of the planet or every single head coach, they would probably tell you, somewhere between week 8 and 10 is where I would really like the buy to be. Like dead center of the season, let's go ahead and reassess what happened the first half and then also get rid of some of those bumps and bruises. And so you come out of there, hard game against the 49ers, but boy, now we go Titans, Texans, and then we get on the back end, Bucks, Panthers, Titans. That was my key here for Jags bets. If you need them to get home, Kelly, what better stretch towards the end of the year to get in Bucks, Panthers, and Titans, right, to try to get either a win total bet home or a division bet total home or whatever it might be for this team. And so I really like the way that it kind of set up for them to get the bank the early wins and then being able to finish strong as well on all of that. So really, really do like the Jags. And I think I like the Jags just as much as I dislike kind of the rest of these teams.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, looking at where in those, like we talk about the division being, you know, an easy path for them already. Even look at when the Colts and Titans games happen. It almost lines up perfectly for when you would want to play those teams for what we at least think is going to happen with the Tennessee Titans. And that we think that means a quarterback change at some point in the season. Okay, you play the Colts early, but both of those games get out of the way pretty early, so you got Anthony Richardson still trying to pick things up early on. You get to play them then, and the Titans you get to play basically on the bat more of the back end of your schedule. Yep. And okay, you might not even be facing a Ryan Tannehill fully loaded Tennessee team then.
I mean, that Week 18 game against the Titans very well could be like Will Levis's first start. Like you know, it's the last game of the year and they throw him in there and you're going to be getting a rookie quarterback making his first start in the NFL. I mean, like that game is going to be that game sets up perfect for them. Look, on the Colts side of things, Anthony Richardson is going to make plays. He's going to do things that make your jaw drop and he's going to do other things where you go like, I can't believe this guy's an NFL quarterback. That's going to be the ups and downs you get with him over the course of the season. Certainly no Jonathan Taylor isn't going to help if he does get out of town. I think the Texans might be interesting on a week-to-week basis to bet, depending on what the spread is, because like I said, there's actually some talent on that roster. It really does depend on how quickly kind of CJ Stroud can get into the NFL game, but they're not completely talentless. And so I think that maybe if we find some situations where the spread might be a little out of whack for that Texans team, and like we're not betting them to win a bunch of games, Kelly, but we just need them to stay within the spread a few different times, and I think maybe that might be one of the teams that I'm looking at.
Yeah, if you listened to the show the other day when we went over those wins match bets too, I think there's some good opportunities with the Texans actually with some good value in those.
Let's continue the football talk, but this time the college version. Tim Murray from right here at VSiN when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get an all-access pass to our betting tools, splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. And you can do just that. VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. Matt in for Gil, one of the very sharp guys on the college football side of things here at this network, Tim Murray. You can find him every single night on the network, but he was kind enough to wake up and join us here this morning. Tim, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
What's happening, man? How are you?
Doing good, man. Rocking and rolling. You know, this is the big show, right? I'm on during the day again, during the weekdays. It's a morning show, all the things like that, you know? So people have got to find me at other days and times these days. So, you know, I'll take it.
Nothing wrong with that. You mentioned getting up early, man. When you got a little guy, I'm up at 6 every day, Matt. So we're on to, you know, cup of coffee number 2. So we're ready to rock and roll.
There we go. I do want to talk a little bit of a week 0 with you, but first and foremost, kind of want to get into something that everyone is going to be paying attention to, because hey, we can't not talk Heisman Trophy. We can't not bring up these various guys and stuff. And of course, Caleb Williams is your favorite at +450. Yep. As we wake up this morning, Jaden Daniels has moved all the way to your second shot here over at DraftKings at 11-1. Quinn Ewers 13, Clay Kubnik 14, et cetera, et cetera. When we look, I mean, this is one of the things where it's a little tough for us as handicappers and bettors, right? This is still a a voted on thing, right? I mean, this is still an opinion thing. Are they going to give it to the same guy twice in a row? These are all things we have to weigh in our minds when we go about betting all of this. How have you kind of looked at the Heisman Trophy market, and is there anybody that you're a little bit higher on than everybody else?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And, you know, the past week or so, you know, there's a formula out there, and with everything, Matt, there's always outliers. Devontae Smith winning the Heisman Trophy in 2020. Lamar Jackson's team finished, I think Louisville finished 15th that year. But by the end of the day, as I looked at it, Matt, and, you know, I tweeted this out a couple days ago, essentially, you're looking for a quarterback and a playoff contending team, and that's how it's going to come down to. Now, you could argue, hey, well, you know, USC didn't make the playoff last year. Yeah, but they were number four in the country going into the Pac-12 championship game. And remember, C.J. Stroud didn't make the Big Ten championship game, and Bryce Young didn't make the SEC championship game. So there was really no other option other than Caleb Williams. There's going to be circumstances. You know, I mentioned the Lamar Jackson, you know, back in 2015, Matt, where he pretty much locked that thing up when Louisville was making this, you know, remarkable run, and they got as high as number three in the country. But, you know, looking back since 2000, you've had 18 quarterbacks, three running backs, and one wide receiver. So, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., Matt, is really an intriguing option because, you know, we don't know who's going to start at quarterback right now for Ohio State. You know, Devin Brown is thought to be a guy that, you know, could ultimately take that job from Kyle McCord. If you read the quotes coming out of Columbus, it sounds like it's a split. So I understand the intrigue for Marvin Harrison Jr., but, you know, for me, Matt, if we're looking at a wide receiver, I'm going to need much more than 20-1, considering we've had one wide receiver win this award this century, and that was Devontae Smith, who, you know, every time we looked, he was scoring a touchdown there for Alabama. So, you know, there's a couple guys that have made some really big rises, and I agree with that movement. I'll start with Cade Klubnik. Cade Klubnik, look, Clemson has never won a Heisman Trophy. Deshaun Watson didn't win it. Trevor Lawrence didn't win it. They've had some big-name quarterbacks, and they never gotten there. But this is a market, you know, that has gone from 25-1 to as low as 10-1 at some shops regarding Cade Klubnik. Why? Well, let's go through it. This is a team that certainly can make the playoff. This is a team that has really high-profile games, Matt. When you think about September 23rd, they get to host Florida State. November 4th, they get to host Notre Dame. The ACC championship game, which no more conferences or divisions, excuse me. They likely will play Florida State again. Get to play Drake May. Where do they play Drake May? They play him at home. So you get a new offensive coordinator and Garrett Riley coming over from TCU, help Max Duggan get all the way to the Heisman ceremony there in New York City. And you got a five-star recruit. So, you know, when you're thinking about who fits the characteristics, who has the right ingredients, I think someone like Cade Klubnik certainly is where to look, and that's why the market has kind of gone bonkers on Cade Klubnik moving from, you know, 25 down to 14, 12, 10-1.
The betting market, as far as like who's actually going to win the whole thing, was in love with four teams for the longest time, and then people started putting some money in on LSU as well. Georgia 220, yeah. Alabama 6-1, Ohio State 7-1, Michigan 8-1. Now we see LSU as low as 11-1, and then kind of a jump there to USC at 15, Clemson at 18. Do you kind of still look at it as a big four, or are you including, as you're looking at the big picture here, are you including an LSU? Are you including a USC, or maybe even a Clemson or Florida State, whatever it might be? Or do you still kind of look at that Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan as the big four and everybody else?
I kind of think those are the big four that will win it, but I do think you can get creative with a playoff team because that's what we've seen. We saw TCU last year get in, kind of out of nowhere. We've seen Cincinnati get in recent years. So I think, you know, if you're looking for a team that, you know, could make the run, Penn State has got a lot of hype. Now, obviously, they have to take care of business against Ohio State or Michigan and win at least one of those games. And if it comes down to a tiebreaker, or if they're sitting at 11-1, Matt, you know, maybe Penn State can sneak into the party because I really like this Penn State team. But obviously, they play in the Big Ten East, where you've got the big boys of Ohio State and Michigan there. You know, a team that, you know, let's hold on to our butts on this one. A team that's got a lot of talent, man. And we've said it a million times before. This will be the million and first, Matt. Texas. Yeah. They're really talented. Yeah. They've got a ton of wide receivers. They've got over 100 career starts on the offensive line. Quinn Ewers, year number two, he lost the mullet, so he's now focused. No more mullet discussion. I really like Texas. And obviously week two, they get a chance to go to Tuscaloosa and to really make some noise there with the Longhorns. I personally have bet the Longhorns to win the Big 12, which I'm sure will certainly come back and bite me in the rear end because they haven't won that conference since 2009, Matt. But, you know, those are two teams that I think certainly could make it to the college football playoff this year based off of talent. But, you know, for me, it's still hard to just kind of overcome in this playoff era, Matt, from what we've seen, seeing a, you know, quote, Cinderella win the national championship. TCU's, I guess, as close as we've got, and they went out and lost by 58 points in the national championship game. So, look, Alabama has a lot of questions. Ohio State, who's their starting quarterback? Michigan made it there the last 2 years, but, you know, is this a team ready to make that next jump? I do think Michigan's pretty darn good, and, you know, their schedule makes out to be just a piece of cake, really, all the way until late November when they play Ohio State and Penn State in two of their last three games. But I think winning the national championship, I'm still kind of just of that mindset until somebody proves that they can win it outside of, you know, the SEC or basically Ohio State. But I do think, as we've said for years, Matt, you can really find some creative ways and not going too outlandish of finding a playoff team. And obviously, you know, DraftKings has it. There are markets out there you could play to make the playoff field.
Yeah, good. God forbid Quinn Ewers actually throws an interception this season and then the Arch Manning chance happened, right? I mean, it's the first the first bonehead play
now,
he makes.
Man, I'm already getting a migraine, thinking about
the first bonehead play he makes, and it's going to be, see, this is why we should have started Arch. What's going on here? This is what's happening. We're talking our very own Tim Murray here. You can find him over at the College Football Betting Podcast as well, wherever your podcasts are held. And by the way, it's absolutely free. So just go in and hit that subscribe button. We've got about 90 seconds here, Tim. Is there anything in week zero you're looking at?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about UMass and early bird gets the worm because that's now gone through the key number of seven. So, you know, we're getting creative here. I'll just hit on Notre Dame Navy real quickly. Just not necessarily something I've gotten involved in. I will say this. We had Brad Powers on VSiN Primetime, and he pointed out the total in this game over the last 12 times these two teams have played, Matt. It's been an average of 62 points per game. The market's actually going against the total right now, so, you know, we'll see. But I do kind of think that we could see some points here. We'll see what Navy decides to do. In the second half last year, Matt, when these two teams played in Baltimore, Navy went all-out blitz the entire second half and almost came back and won that game. But now you're going to see Sam Hartman, a quarterback who's seen everything. You know, my biggest question for the Irish are these wide receivers, if they're going to step up. But the more and more I think about it, you know, Notre Dame, veteran linebackers, I think they should be able to take, you know, care of business here with Brian Newberry starting his new era there with the midshipmen. But a lean towards the over with Notre Dame and Navy. I could see this being, a 38-17 type of situation there in Ireland.
VSiN Primetime every night here on the network. And, of course, go subscribe to the College Football Betting Podcast. Awesome information on there, and it's absolutely free. He is Tim Murray. Thanks for your time this morning, buddy.
Matt, always a pleasure, man.
Ole Arch Manning. The highest card ever sold by Peyton Manning was $75,000 at this little sports card show in Chicago. $100,000-plus for an Arch Manning card already.
Whew!
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. If all legs but one hit, you get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. And you do have to be 21 years of age or older. New and existing customers can do this offer. All promotions are subject to qualifications and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, and those do expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. If you're over in New York, 877-8-HOPE-NY. Arizona, 800-NEXT-STEP. In Massachusetts, 800-327-5050. In Iowa, 800-BETS-OFF. And 800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Puerto Rico's 800-981-0023 in partnership with the Kansas Crossing Hotel and Casino. And this offer is not valid to Puerto Rico residents. We do have a golf tournament this week. If you listened on Monday, we did a very brief long shots, and then we did a full long shots with Wes Reynolds yesterday, Kelly. Look, this tournament is not the greatest betting tournament that there is. There is, if you guys don't know how this all works, the reason you play all year long is you accumulate points. And then with those points, you get into a 70-person first leg of the playoffs. Then if your points add up, you make the second leg, which is 50 players. And then it culminates right here at the end with this 30-player field. But your bonus for doing well all season long is wherever you stand in the standings, you enter this tournament with a handicap. Like, you actually start better than other people within the field. And so what we have is the best player in the world, the guy, the most consistent player in the world, and Scottie Scheffler, who's going to be starting this tournament at 10 under par. So before he ever hits his first ball off the tee, Scottie Scheffler is already 10 under. Victor Hovland, 8. Rory McIlroy, 7. John Rahm, 6. Lucas Glover, 5. And then we start getting into little batches of guys that are going to be 4 under, 3 under, 2 under, 1 under, and then even par. So those are little 5-player batches after that. The money is very significant as well. So one of the other things that we talked about on the podcast is, how do we handicap that aspect of everything? Because there are very little minute pay jumps at the bottom half of the field and very significant pay jumps towards the top of the field. If you've ever played in a poker tournament, for example, like when you min cash, you level up from there, but it's not really huge jumps. But until you start to whittle it down, whittle it down, and then the pay jumps become significant. It's kind of what we're getting here. Every person in the field is guaranteed $500,000. If you finish dead last, you could go out and play opposite-handed, and you're going to still make $500,000 in this tournament, which, by the way, I hope Tyrrell Hatton ends up doing on Sunday, because you can tell he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be at this tournament. He was not happy that he made the top 30. I hope by Sunday he's playing left-handed out there.
Yeah.
$500,000 to that person. But first place is $18 million. So you can tell the jump here. 6.5 for second, 5 for third, 4 for fourth, 3 for fifth, 2.5 for sixth, 2 million for seventh, 1.5 million for eighth, 1.25 for ninth, and then 1 million for tenth. So once you get into that top 10, you start getting $250,000, $500,000, then $1 million, and then even more than $1 million pay jumps in there. Whereas the pay jump from 30th to 29th is $500,000 to $510,000. So no one's going to care. These guys towards the bottom are not going to care. And Kelly, that becomes the handicap within a handicap here that we are having to try to factor in, because there is going to be a portion of this field come Sunday that can just YOLO, right? I mean, it doesn't matter, right? It's like, do whatever you want to. Do not play the smart play. There's no real penalty for not playing the smart play and just go and absolutely lose your mind trying to climb up the ladder a little bit. Because again, if you're sitting 17th at 700,000, but you can climb up to ninth somehow because you go super, super low, that's a $500,000 pay jump, right? And so that's kind of where we sit with all this. But the difference between 16th and 24th is $120,000. So yeah, and for these guys, that's not significant enough to not play super, super aggressively.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's really where you need to start with this tournament. It's just a different type of betting event than what we usually get, you know, as far as golf tournaments go. So I do think it's, you know, you and I talked about this on Monday a little bit, but I think there are some markets, like, you know, tournament matchups we talked about. I'm not really looking at this week because you just don't know what those guys' positions are going to be, right, come Sunday. I think you want to, if you're going to play outside the outrights in we'll get back to that, because you're going to have an outright market with the starting strokes, an outright market without starting strokes. You can bet both of those as well. I think if you're not involved in one of those, the only other place I kind of started to look were those top five, top tens, Matt, if I did think someone could kind of crack into those, because you do know, at least there's always, if you're in that range, there is that monetary motivation to get into that top 10. You know, you'd get an extra $500,000, extra $1 million, whatever it might be, just if you can, you know, move up a spot or
Yeah, that's the way to look at it. And by the way, there are two different ways to bet this tournament. So if you go over to DraftKings, the default is just going to be on tournament winner. That is with the starting strokes added in. So factored in, which means that's why you're looking at Scottie Scheffler as plus 130 in that market, right? Because he is starting at 10 under par, which is still two strokes better than the next closest guy. Right next to that, there's a tab that says winner without starting strokes. So this is actually the best 72-hole finisher over the course of the tournament. We talked about this. Now Wes did play, and you can, again, go get long shots wherever you listen to your podcast, absolutely free. Wes did play some guys in this market. I can't get there, Kelly, and it's just something for me because, again, you know, there are some guys where it might not be worth it to keep their foot on the gas come Sunday. Again, if Scotty starts 10 in the first 3 days, he goes 5-under, 4-under, 5-under again or something like that, like, he's going to be hitting 5-iron off the tee every single time, right? Yeah. I mean, like there's no reason in the world for him to keep his foot on the gas, right? I mean, like, just none whatsoever. And so it's hard for me to kind of go try to bet one of these guys in the 72-hole market because I think Sunday is a very different day for a lot of different people depending on how the first 3 days go. And you could see guys really and truly kind of put it in neutral and just try to make sure that they do not lose spots, and then you're going to see other guys just go absolutely nuts, and that's also factors into kind of, you know, man, wouldn't it be terrible if you had a dude that was sitting there leading after 54 holes, but he's trying to get to, like, third, you know, or fourth, and so he just goes nuts from a gambling perspective, essentially, and then ends up falling, you know, completely out of contention. So I don't know. There's just too much for me to factor in here with all of that, and so I didn't go that way.
So I don't have a bet in that market either. Mm-hmm. I think the natural inclination for me is that if you are going to bet that market, look at some of the little bit longer shots. But
right.
But we haven't really seen those cash in that market either over the past few years since this format's been put in place. So, real quick, just, you know, for quick course breakdown here. This is Eastlake is a tough course. You're talking about one of the tougher courses on tour. Not a whole lot of water in play, which also makes the, you know, how much are guys going to move up and down leaderboards makes it a little bit more difficult for guys to go really, really low here. It is a course, though. It's long. You're talking about tight fairways. It's going to be a premium on driving accuracy this week, driving and driving distance, but driving accuracy is what you hear all these players talk about. Really need to make sure it's in the fairway to have any chance to score on these 12 par fours that are on the course, and that's really where you're going to have to get it done because there's only two par fives. That's what you're going to see course-wise. Really, if you're doing anything kind of statistical modeling-wise, I know me and you did a little bit, not a ton this week, though, but that's really where I emphasize stuff. I think this is another one of those courses, though. You got to be long somewhere. If you're not long off the tee, you got to be good with your long irons. So, you know, there's guys like Colin Morikawa that fit that bill, I think, that are, you know, maybe not the longest off the tee, but great with their long irons. I think you got to be looking at guys like that. And, you know, you got to find someone who's going to score this week. You got to find that.
And you're going to see big numbers in this, in just the normal market, not the winner without, but just the tournament winner. Guys, listen, people from way back, it's just not happening. Like they're not coming from way back. I would highly, highly advise you not waste your money on betting any of these dudes that are further down the board. Listen, it would be different if it was any other year, but trying to run down Scottie Scheffler when he has a, let's just say you're in that pack of two under guys.
Yeah.
When he has an 8-stroke lead on you, and then, by the way, you're still having to pass Victor Hovland or Rory McIlroy, who've been playing fantastic. So, like, it's just not going to happen. So, like, we talked about this a little bit on Monday. Half this field is donezo. Like, the two under, one under even guys, zero chance of winning this tournament, in my opinion. You can start to maybe say some of these three under, four under guys, but I think in any other year, maybe I would think that was a little bit more have a chance of happening. But you would need a collapse by not only Scotty, but Victor and Rory along the way. And then you're still having to pass guys like Max Homa and Patrick Cantlay and Brian Harman and all these guys who have been pretty consistent over the last month, month and a half of the season as well. I just don't see it happening. I would not bet any of the super long shots in the markets that have the starting strokes factored in.
In fact, the bets that we did make, me and you are both on Scottie Scheffler to win this tournament at about plus 140.
Yeah, run him down if you can. I just don't think you can. We're going to kick off hour number two with Mike Pritchard. Stick around.